Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Right now, it's got to be a win for the Browns. Gentleman who knows all about the new linebacker from Notre Dame and knows how to pronounce it without double-checking it like we have to, joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You see him all over NBC. He is the radio voice of the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. He's Paul Burmeister. Paul, thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.
Hey, man.
You got it. You have any idea how many times I've said Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah the last 3 years?
Well done.
A number of times. Hundreds.
Honestly, Paul, we're still in the phase where we have to take a look at it and double check just so we don't screw it up. So it will become automatic for us.
It's funny. He was known inside the building there at Notre Dame just as Woo. And as you guys know, as pros, that doesn't work for us. But you'll get used to it. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah will soon roll right off the tongue.
I like Woo way better.
Much.
J-O-K is what people would say. I don't like J-O-K, to be honest with you.
That works too, yeah.
The Browns talked about him with their number one pick, Paul. Are you surprised he was available in round number two, and what might have led to that?
I really thought he was going to be a first-round pick, and that's not just because I got to know the kid and what he meant, so why he meant so much to the program there at Notre Dame the last 2 years, especially this last season. I think he kind of brings what people want at an outside linebacker position right now. I mean, he's not just a run and chase kind of guy, which can be a bit of a bad description. He's someone who excels sideline to sideline, who also loves contact, and also isn't a matchup nightmare for your defensive coordinator if he gets lined up on somebody in the slot. Like, any quarterback, any offensive coordinator is going to want to have an outside backer in that spot. But he's proven he can do that pretty well, and he loves the contact in the run game. So I thought all of that added up to being a first-round pick. Maybe you can look at what Arizona did last year with Isaiah Simmons, that they take this kid who's got great potential and, quote, can play anywhere, but yet you don't really know quite where to put him. So was he worth the first-round pick? Maybe there was a little bit of that, maybe a little bit of wondering what's his best spot, what's his home going to be. Chased him into the second round. Like, I don't know specifically, but for what teams want an outside linebacker to do, I saw him do it at a high level the last 2 years.
We kicked that around this morning. Like, how did he end up going in the second round? And I think part of it is just the need for linebackers on other teams wasn't there. The Browns had it. They were willing to move up, but there were only two linebackers selected between the Browns' first-round selection and then moving up at 52. I think that's got to play into it, don't you?
I'm sure, board positioning and who went off the board and all that. I actually thought, guys, that a player like that linebackers might get pushed up a little more than they have in the past, because it's kind of a copycat league with all schemes and all positions. We saw what Devin White meant to the Buccaneers and how he just went sideline to sideline and just what a force he was, what a presence he was on that defense that had as much to do with them winning the Super Bowl as Tom Brady in the offense. So I kind of thought he might get pushed up, but you never really know the reasons for guys that are supposed to go in the first going in the second. I do really think, though, and it's such a cliche term, value this time of year, I think what he has physically and where they got him, I think it's a great matchup. I think it's a great marriage there. And I'd be shocked if they didn't really like him in the upcoming years there in Cleveland.
Paul Burmeister joining us, the radio voice of the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, NBC sportscaster. What do you think J.O.K. Owusu-Koramoah does the best, Paul? What did you enjoy watching him do?
I think he disrupts the run game. And he's not a liability in the pass game, which I think is a real compliment for an outside backer, first of all, because these offensive coordinators are scheming right now how they can run motions, how they can use formations, different personnel. So at the snap, an outside linebacker is on their best tight end, or an outside linebacker is on their third best wide receiver. That's what they're doing from now until training camp begins, and they'll keep doing it every single week. So I don't think he's a liability the way some outside linebackers can be in that position. And I think in addition to, and this is now for the run game, I think in addition to how he chases from sideline to sideline, he loves contact. He's not just someone who runs well and has great potential and loves has really good athleticism, but isn't really, really good when it comes to tackling somebody. He makes giant hits. He seeks out contact. He's very comfortable with physicality, but you have to have now. Has he done it inside the box against NFL caliber offensive tackles and guards and fullbacks for the team to do that? You know, that remains to be seen. And maybe that question had something to do with the fact that he went in the second round instead of the first. But I don't think he's going to hurt you in the passing game, which is a real compliment. And for a guy who runs really well sideline to sideline, I think he also does well seeking out contact when it comes time for that point of the game.
It was a good year for Notre Dame as well, especially when you got a guy from – like, I was surprised that he was the third guy from Notre Dame to end up going. But I'll tell you, the folks right around here were happy because Liam Eichenberg is from, you know, St. Ignatius, as you know. So we were pretty excited about that too. There was a really good cheer inside the stadium during the draft when he got selected. It was actually very cool.
I would I'd point out a couple other things just because I'm in the weeds with how Notre Dame won their games the last couple of years. And you see his stats, you see his physicality. But when they beat Clemson in early November last year, like, all the kids were a part of it. But I don't know if anyone had more to do with that victory than JOK did, because in that second quarter, he produced a defensive touchdown. Like, he went out there on the pitch, picked the ball off, ran it in for six. So he made a giant play in the game that mattered the most to Notre Dame. And I think that label gets attached to quarterbacks, like, how did he play in the huge game? But it should also stick for everybody else who makes giant plays when the team needed him the most in the big games. And after that touchdown he scored against Clemson, he also caused a fumble on a completion that led to a turnover that led to points for Notre Dame. So he made big, big plays in really big games. And one other thing that I don't think got talked about enough, North Carolina had two running backs drafted that were really, really good players. And Wu led the team in tackling that week, going sideline to sideline. And he was certainly up for that challenge against NFL running backs. So once you get below the surface and look at how he did against kind of NFL competition, there are a couple good examples last year how he showed up in really, really big moments.
Paul Burmeister joining us. He's with NBC Sports, radio voice of the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. And with your work with NBC, of course, Paul, among many of the other things, you cover the NFL. What do you think about where the Browns are now, especially where they were, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, the way this thing has changed?
Yeah, I think it's a fun story. And, you know, backing up a little bit, guys, growing up in the Midwest in a state that didn't have an NFL team, like, I don't have a favorite team. And I worked at NFL Network for 10 years and stay involved with it now. I just enjoy watching these good stories, teams that were not really good for a while, who really appear to have a nice plan, good personnel, good coaches, and are moving in the right direction. And I think Cleveland, I mean, whether you love the team or hate them, and it's easier to evaluate this way when you don't have either one of those feelings, I think they're certainly one of the up-and-coming teams. I've been a Kevin Stefanski fan for a long time. I've known him for a while. And he's the kind of guy that you walk away from any kind of conversation, you're just like, man, I kind of hope that guy does well. Smart, genuine, treats people the right way. So starting with him, it's great. And I really like what they do on offense. I know we're talking defense here with the draft, but I played quarterback in the Big Ten, and I'm always just a fan of people who are doing it in smart, creative ways. I love the fact that they go 2 and 3 tight ends quite a bit. They get Baker under center a lot, which makes such a difference for how difficult it is for the defense to figure out what you're doing. The play action stuff is great. So kind of a long-winded answer, but I'm on board with the direction they're going in, and their team that I really, really enjoy watching. And because of some of the people they have behind the scenes, it's also it's also pretty easy to feel good about their success when it comes along.
I'm just curious, like, what do you think, especially from your perspective, when all the quarterbacks start going high? Like, this year it was great for the Browns because I thought it pushed all these defensive players down the board.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard for me not to look at these drafts and go, okay, well, they got that right, or maybe New England didn't get it right, you know, because it's such a 50-50 shot.
Right. I know. It's part of what makes the draft so much fun. But specifically when it comes to New England, I was one who thought Mac Jones would have been worth that third pick for San Francisco. Now, I totally get all the reasons why they went with Trey Lance instead. I mean, that makes sense, and they seem to be in love with him, and that's what you really want this time of year. But Mac Jones, man, I mean, people say that he can't do this or he can't do that, or he was surrounded by all this talent. If you watch a lot of his tape, I mean, he consistently has good accuracy. The ball goes to the right place. His balance in the pocket is terrific, which is underrated. He was kind of like a little mini version of what made Joe Burrow such a great prospect last year, is that time after time after time, even though we had great talent around him, the ball kept going to the right place, and it kept showing up with accuracy. So I really like him a lot, and I think he would have been worth a top five pick, and I think he's got a great chance to be really good in the NFL.
Can I throw in, Paul? That's not just, you know, a broadcaster talking. That's the former starting quarterback of the Iowa Hawkeyes.
There you go. It's a long time ago. I appreciate you bringing that up. It was like a long time ago. Yeah, and I remember the offensive line coach in Iowa my freshman year, Kirk Ferentz, ended up in Cleveland for a while, coaching with Bill there in the mid-90s. So he's got certainly has a little Cleveland flavor to him there, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, once we get Owusu or Koromoa, thank you. See, I wasn't looking at it.
Woo, man, I'm all into
Woo. I'm looking at you. I'm just going to call him Woo or J-O-K. Once we get him all good and ready to go, we're going to have you back if you'll have us, and we'd love to talk more with you.
Of course. Always fun to talk football, and especially when it comes to the Notre Dame guys. So I hope he gets off to a great start there with you.
Paul, thank you very much,
Paul,
for your time. We appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.